readers, welcome back to another episode of the A History of Crows podcast. In today's episode, I'm going to recommend another three dark academia books. If you like dark academia, you can search around this podcast because there's a lot of content about dark academia. I'm always recommending books. I'm always talking about the characteristics of the genre. I am actually currently writing my master thesis on dark academia, so I'm really, really passionate about this subject. And I love, love, love reading books of this genre. And I'm always looking for my next great dark academia read. And in this episode, I'm going to recommend three books that each in their own way are like a little outside of the curve. Probably this could be the title of this episode, three dark academia books that are outside of the curve. And so let's get started. The first book is The Lessons by Naomi Alderman. This book is going to introduce us to James, who has just gotten to Oxford, and he meets a girl whom he falls in love with. It's called Jess, and she introduces him to her friend group. Her friend group is consisted of Franny and Simon, who are best friends and occasional lovers, Emanuela, who is super glamorous and fancy and rich, and Mark Winters. I love Mark. This is a little complaint I have about this book is that most of these characters, besides James and Mark, actually feel a little one-dimensional to me. I wish they were a little bit more fleshed out because Mark and James are super fleshed out. Like, Mark is a great character and the others kind of fade compared to both of them. But that wasn't like super thing, but it was something that bothered me alongside another thing that ended up making me give this book 4 stars. I enjoyed reading this book so much. It was very short, less than 300 pages, so like practically 70% I read in one sitting. This book is very strong on the Oxford descriptions and information about Oxford, actually. I learned some stuff here. Did you know that students need to wear specific clothing / uniforms while taking exams? Because I didn't know that. Special exam clothes. Let me quote something. Oxford is beautiful. Its beauty, it is plumage, its method of procreation, the beauty of the dream of Oxford, of spires and quiet learning, of the life of the mind, of effortless superiority. All these had beguiled me. Oxford was a tree decked with presents. All I had to do was reach out my hand and pluck them. I would achieve a first. I would gain a blue. I would make a rich, influential, powerful friends. Oxford would paint me with a thin layer of gold. This quote for me is all about how you associate, in this case, Oxford, but like academic life and academic life in dark academia books as something like, it will transform you. You are going to be better after you go through with it. And actually, this book talks a lot about the power that the academic period of time, you know, the university years of someone's life can be the most amazing thing they're ever going to go through. This is a recurrent theme in campus novels as well, where people just long for this past, for this moment, for the friendships, for these experiences that they lived in university and that they feel like this was the best time of their lives. And this book actually guides us through all of the years that these characters go in Oxford and then life after Oxford. And so we can see firsthand how they are gonna always come back to this time when they were in Oxford and how this time was actually the defining time of their lives for a number of reasons. James also lives very much in the shadow of his sister. His sister was an alumni of Oxford and their parents, they keep always like pressuring James in certain ways. And so he always wants to succeed. He always wants to be the best. Like, he used to be the best in his high school, but then in Oxford you just have the best. Each person was the best of their own high school and then they all joined Oxford. So here, how can you be the best among the best, you know? And there's a lot of things that make you reflect while you go thinking about that. And And then we have Mark Winters. Like I said, he's like your typical charismatic, problematic, and self-centered leader of a group. I love him so much. He's so well constructed. And all of these friends kind of orbitate around him. And I wish some more things were explored with him, because he has sort of a dark past and abusive behavior. And there was a specific thing that happened in the narrative that I'm not going to talk about, but the specific thing I wish had gone a little different, and then it would affect the way that the ending would have happened. And so the way that it actually happened made me feel like it was rushed, and a few more chapters would be better. But then again, like I said, if this specific thing was different, it would have been all different for me. But overall, you can clearly see the inspiration this book takes in certain themes that are pertaining to the dark academia genre. It has a certain vibe, like the writing style reminded me a little bit of The Secret History. You know, we always go back to The Secret History with dark academia because it is the one first, the father, the Bible of dark academia. And so there are books where you feel like, oh, this tried to be The Secret History, but you failed miserably. Or, oh, you tried to be like The Secret History, it was all right, you tried. In this case here, it tries, but it actually achieves to be its own voice, original voice, even though it tries to be similar. So I really appreciate that, because it was refreshing, it was exciting, it was eloquently written, and it's just, I really enjoyed reading this book. Like I said, I think I said it before, 4 stars. Okay, next book I'm gonna recommend in this episode is called They Never Learn by Lane Fargo. This book is so good. I don't even know how to start talking about this one. I was obsessed with this book once I finished. It was one of the best dark academia books I've ever read. 5 stars, favorite, no more. Okay, so it's narrated from 2 points of view. Scarlett, who is an English professor at Gorman University, and she's exceptional at her job. She's one of the best. But also she's exceptional at getting away with murder. You heard me right. Getting away with murder. And the other narrator is Carly, a freshman at the same university. This book is so fast-paced. The writing is so frenetic. And like, there are so many twists and turns and revelations. And I was shocked at every turn and I couldn't stop reading. And I loved every second of it. Okay, let's get back to Scarlett. Scarlett murdered men. But only men who deserve it, meaning men who abuse their girlfriends, men who commit sexual assault or rape, generally the worst kind of men, and usually men that commit violence against women in many forms. The opening scene of this book is actually Scarlett killing a guy who took place in a gang rape where all the men were drunk, but this one was stone cold sober and he still did it. So like, you can pretty much see where we're going with this book just from the opening scene. And this book is all about female rage, so if you like reading about that, you're in for a treat. And it also discusses a lot of frustrations that Scarlett has with the academic world, how difficult it is to get tenure, the competition in her field. In fact, it points out to how her seniors, most of them white males, have advantages over her, her desire to be the best. There's one particular scene that really stuck with me, was when she asked for a colleague to proofread one of her articles, and he criticizes the article and then he plagiarizes it. He like steals everything that she says, writes his own paper and publishes before her, and then he's praised for it. And so like, this is exactly what dark academia is about in its essence. Like I said, the other narrator is Carly. She's a student. She's also a great character, and it explores a lot of her relationship with her roommate, Allison, and her best friend, Wes. And there's a lot of nuances with both of her relationships with these two characters, and a lot of developments that are going to be very shocking as things go by. So I'm not going to talk a lot about this, but I really, really enjoyed both of these characters. And actually, I can't forget to mention, both of these narrators are bisexual women. So yay for representation. Yes, this is really good. But I feel like the strongest asset of this book in particular, it is how it explores the abuse women suffer in academic life. Even from like the harmless, and I'm using quotes here on the harmless, of like not being taken seriously, having a man who researches the same stuff as you get more praise and more credit and be taken as, oh, he's so clever, he's so smart, and you're doing the same or even better than him, but you're a woman, so you're being disregarded, to even the more complex and damaging things like being over-sexualized in academia or just in university in general. Both Carly and Scarlett suffer from that, and Scarlett, she actually witnesses her peers, her co-workers, adult men hitting on the students or sleeping with students. And so it's all very complex. And like I said, it also deals with like sexual assault and rape, because that is something very present in the academic environment as well. And it just makes so real the everyday violence, microaggressions, and just treatment that women are constantly suffering, and how the world is unsafe for women, essentially. And one of the most scary things this book talks about is how nothing happens. Like, you can try to make a complaint, you can try to go talk to the dean, you can try telling a professor, and nothing ever happens, nothing changes. And so that is what propels Scarlett to go and make justice with her own hands. And I know, I get that. Her morality is quite hazy. But I mean, while you're reading this book, you feel her rage and you feel her frustration in trying to get things right by the normal ways that you're supposed to try, and how the normal and how the world fails women. And then she's just like, no, I'm going to take care of this my way, and she goes and does it. And it's so satisfying. Like, when you're reading, this book convinces you of her logic, and you're like, yes, like, this book is essentially literally, if I had to say, it is literally the pure energy of, I support women's rights, but more importantly, I support women's wrongs. And it was perfection. So yes, this book is incredible. The moment when the two narrators' stories intertwine is just pure perfection. The ending is pure perfection. The ending is like, yes, 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 yes. It's like, it's good. It's just so good. I cannot stop praising how incredible They Never Learn is. It's one of the best books Dark Academia General has to offer. And like I said, outside of the curve. Okay, so the third and final book I'm going to recommend today is called The Latinist by Mark Prince. The Latinist is going to introduce us to Tessa Templeton. She is a PhD student in Oxford. She's finishing her PhD. And it shows us to the relationship she has with her advisor, Christopher, Chris. And so at the beginning of the novel, she's quite almost done with her PhD, and she's getting ready to like expand her wings, you know, go to a different university, maybe a teaching job, you know, in hopes of like getting tenure in a little while, or maybe a post PhD study. You know, she's just looking forward to doing her next step in her academic life. And then to do so, she's applying, and she sends her advisor, Chris, writes her recommendation letters. And now it seems everything is going well until he receives an email that has one of the letters he wrote to her, like the letter actually, because it's the same letter to all the people who needed the letter. And essentially, it's an awful letter. It's a hideous recommendation letter. He simply sabotages her prospects with that letter. She's completely at his mercy because he just destroyed her with the letter. And she has a tremendous CV. She has fellowships. She's a stellar academic. And then nothing matters, because the way that he wrote the academic letter, her recommendation letter, sorry, it made her look as the worst person ever. And then questions is like, why would he write something like that? And that is one of the questions this book is going to introduce to us, because it's going to show us that through Chris's logic, he wants to keep Tessa at his side at all costs. And that's why he felt like he should write this letter. And it's just so good the way that the book is going to work all these questions. Tessa is a Latinist. She's a student of the classics, particularly like Latin language, translation, ancient texts. And she's also very interested in the myth of Apollo and Daphne, which essentially is what? Apollo was exaggeratedly pursuing Daphne to the point that she was like, dude, I don't want you. And then Daphne asks for Zeus to turn her into something that Apollo can't fuck, to put it plain simply. And then she turns, and then Zeus turns into a tree. That also reminds me of They Never Learn, you know, the importunation of men upon women. Yeah, you need to become a tree so that you're safe from men. Okay. And this myth is actually sort of a parallel. It's a mirror to the relationship between Tessa and Chris. You need to read to see it, but it's just perfection. This book also has a lot of focus on the academic aspect of the study of Tessa, and it can become a little bit dull from what I've heard, from what I've read, in some reviews. It was not the case for me. I was very intrigued by this, but I get that because, for example, Babel, you thought I wasn't going to talk about Babel. Wrong. I'm talking about Babel again. Babel has a focus on translation, etymology, linguistics, which are topics of my personal interest, so it made it all the more exciting for me to read. In the case of this, like, Latin translation of Latin, this myth of Apollo and Daphne, I wasn't aware of this myth. It's not something that I'm familiar or either topics of my personal interest, but I was able to follow along. I was excited. The way that it was written kept me intrigued. So I feel like this is the type of dark academia who can become a little bit more heavy on the writing aspect, on this focus on the study, the field of study for some people, but then it depends on the reader. It also focuses a lot on the obsession, the willingness to do anything for academia, the academic conferences, the academic food chain, the intense pressure and demands of academia. Like, it demands so much energy, so much attention from you, and you feel like, oh, is this gonna be something that's gonna give me a future? That's what Tessa questions a lot in this book. And the exhausting relationship between Tessa and Chris, because I've really been enjoying reading dark academias that focus on relationships between professors and students, or in this case, advisors and advisees, and how essentially these relationships are power relationships, because one of the people in the relationship has always more power than the other, is more senior than the other, and sometimes this generates anger, resentment, jealousy from both parts, you know, not just from the advisee to the advisor. No, because here Chris is jealous of Tessa, and he's the advisor. So it's a very, very complex type of relationship, and I love reading about these relationships. I have recommended in another episode and here in the podcast, another book that talks about the relationship between advisors and advisees, which was The Two Dr. Gorski. I really enjoyed that book as well. And everything that I said so far is just makes this book such a strong specimen of dark academia. The ending is so dark academia that it's like, wow, this is what dark academia is about. And this is kind of a different recommendation. Like, I feel like every one of these books I've talked about today, in their own way, has different ways of working the dark academia genre. So in the lessons, you have all these stuff that I said, like the period of time you were in university is kind of the formative, the most exciting, the best, an unreachable, unstopped, unmatched time in one's life, and how after this period of time is over, some people can't grow, can't get past that, and they keep longing for this past. And They Never Learn focus a lot, like I said, on these violences against women in academia, and this female rage and the female perspective of academia, and one woman's literal quest to making justice with her own hands. And the Latinist is going to focus a lot on these small things, like not just the subject, the academic subject here, which, like I said, is the Latin, is the translations. So there's a lot of that written on the text, but also these other stuff, like the relationship with advisors, the conferences, the papers and stuff. So the more like practical academia side, I suppose. Anyway, I don't know if I said it, but it's a 5-star. I really, really enjoyed this book. I feel like it's so well written. And all the three of these books are so good on their own way, and they all made me super excited while I was reading. they all made me like jittery, like, yes, this is why I love Dark Academia, and each in their own way. And all three of them are kind of different from what you usually see in this mass, in this mainstream Dark Academia books of today, diving deep in different ways, but each exposing the best and the worst of academia, exposing the dark side of academia. And just, it's just perfection. Like, that's what I'm here for, you know? That's why I'm studying this genre, because I love it. And I recommend all three of these books so much. You will not regret it. Like, if you're looking for your next Dark Academia read, here are some two recommendations for you. So if you've listened this far, thank you so much. I will see you next time. Bye-bye.